Well, it's been so fun to hang out with the kiddos and the volunteers this week. If you missed out on Kids Weekend, like, just mark it on your calendar for next June. Like, save the vacation for later. You want to be here and be a part of it next June. It's really an incredible weekend. And partnering with Filter of Hope has been an incredible journey, too. And the whole Mission Lab experience, if you've yet to be back there in room M120, it is an immersive, hands-on, audiovisual, tactile experience that'll just blow your mind. So take you, yourself, your family through there. We're going to leave that up one more Sunday. So next week, you can come back and experience it. And also, if you're not prepared today to help us sponsor one of those water filters, our goal is to sponsor 30 water filters. And I hope that after the sermon, we'll know a little bit. Will we know, Chelsea? We'll be... Okay, maybe not. Maybe next week we'll know. Because part of that's an online component, right? And so we need to kind of catch up with some of that. But we will hear how much our kids have raised. For $40, you can sponsor one of those filters that provides clean water for 10 years for a family. And that's pretty incredible. So if we sponsor 30 of those, what we figured out by doing a little math is that's enough water over 10 years to fill up 1,300 average-sized swimming pools. So every time you jump in a swimming pool this summer, you can remember that you've actually contributed to helping a family across the globe have access not just to clean water, but also to the life-saving message of Jesus Christ. Because just as the filter makes the dirty water clean, Jesus is what makes our dirty, sinful hearts and souls clean. And that's what we're going to talk more about today. We've been learning all week, as Chelsea said earlier, that God is King. That's how we started on Friday night. We're exploring that truth that God is King. I showed the picture and asked the question, who is the king of Disney World? If we say Disney World is the Magic Kingdom, who's the king of Disney World? And most people, although one kid did shout out Jesus, and I said, I guess that's probably true, most people say Mickey Mouse. Thanks, kids. Now, we talked about this because Mickey Mouse, yes, he's the most prominent and public figure of Disney. He's the first character ever created, but that's the key, is that he was created by Walt Disney. And so why wouldn't we automatically say Walt Disney is, say, the king of the Magic Kingdom? So we showed these pictures and talked about how because Mickey is created, that he's not the king, but that he has a king that it gives him exactly how he's supposed to live and what to do. And just like Mickey Mouse, we have a creator who designed us and made us, who's the only real king of the universe and who wants us to live for him as our king in order to build his eternal kingdom. This is part of the good news of Jesus Christ. And the gospel that we believe is that we have a creator God who is our king, our eternal king. We also talked about on day two yesterday morning, which feels almost like it was about 10 minutes ago. This is how tired we are, I think, for kids' weekend. But yesterday morning, we talked about how we are citizens of God's kingdom, that we belong in God's kingdom. We talked about Ephesians chapter 2 that says that we're no longer foreigners or strangers, but now because of Jesus, we have been made citizens and members of God's household. What we tried to get across to the kiddos yesterday and now to you is that this is not something that we're born into. We're not naturally born into citizenship or membership in God's family. But we also don't have to pass a test or change our address to become part of God's family or change our citizenship. But that citizenship is only made possible by Jesus, who qualifies us by his work on the cross, who rescues us from our sin, and who brings us into God's family. I like the way that Colossians says this in the New Testament, that he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. So we are citizens when we believe in Jesus, we belong to his kingdom. That verse in Ephesians also talked about how God is building us into a temple. And we talked into his holy temple, not, by the way, a building for worship of God, but into a people for the worship of God. And how each of us are like bricks in God's hands. And just as you might hold one brick in your hand, one brick doesn't do a whole lot of good for you. But if you had lots of bricks that could be put together, they could make something much larger than themselves. And those bricks are each of us who belong to God's kingdom. And God is putting us together. By itself, we don't do much good. But together, we can represent God to the world. and we can take responsibility for the work that God wants to do in the world through us. So we are citizens. And that brings us to today's focus. What is it that citizens in God's kingdom are to do? We are to share. I hope you can see the big words behind me. They've done an awesome job exploring that God is king, belonging as citizens to his kingdom, and citizens share. Citizens are ambassadors for God's kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." You may have heard about ambassadors. Someone with a special assignment to carry a message from a sender who has authority and then gives that person with the message the authority of the sender to carry that message. Maybe you are thinking, like me, I first immediately think of the ambassadors that the United States have all across the world, which, by the way, this is a good moment just to say, if you've been watching the news today or last night, this is not the whole focus of the weekend, but this is a great moment in today, in just any time today, to be praying for our world and for peace and trusting that God is king. He's the true king, and he's the one who is over it all. And so, as I said earlier to someone, the lines of evil and good get very blurry for us, but we have a clear vision that God is king and over it all. And so we can trust him in that. And that's what we ought to do as believers. And we think about these ambassadors in other countries, but I want to give another example that might be a little more close to home for our kiddos today. Kids, if you've been in elementary school, you've probably had this experience. We talked yesterday about what it means to be a good citizen and how in kindergarten, sometimes they give away at the end of the year good citizen awards. And what does it mean? How do you earn a good citizen award? And people had all kinds of kids had all kinds of good responses about what that means, about being a helper, taking responsibility, being kind to your neighbor, sharing your crayons. I mean, there's all kinds of great answers that they had about what it means to be a good citizen. But take this for example, a student, say at Travis Elementary, right across the street, is given a note from their teacher to take to the principal's office. That student has just become an ambassador for the teacher, to the principal, to carry that note. But it's not just a note. She says to the student that take the note to the principal, and then on your way back, would you stop by the teacher's lounge and would you grab the Sonic drink that has my name on it that the Mauberly Kids Ministry left over there for me? That would be great. So now we have a student who's an ambassador for their teacher. So the student goes, and they're walking down the hallway in Travis, and they get stopped by a hall monitor. Now, you're not supposed to be in the hall right now. Well, what does that student say? Well, they are going to say, "My teacher sent me with this message to the principal." And what's that hall monitor going to say? Go back to your room? No. The hall monitor is going to say, "By all means, take the message." Because that student is going with the authority of the teacher. That student can do exactly what the teacher is meant to do in that situation as an ambassador. Takes the message to the principal, hands it off. On her way back, stops by the teacher's lounge. Goes in there to get the Sonic drink with the teacher's name on it. And there's another teacher hanging out in the lounge and says, "You can't take that drink. That doesn't have your name on it." And the student says, "My teacher sent me to get it." Well, guess what? That other teacher is not going to say no anymore. The other teacher is going to say, "Well, by all means, take the drink to your teacher." See, the student has the task, the message, and the authority from the teacher. Christians, as citizens of God's kingdom, you and I have been sent to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the world with the authority of the one true King. This is really good news. We made some flags today. They're right here. Eli, can you hold these up for me? I'm going to just bring them up here on the platform. We're dropping a few out of the bucket. Thank you for those of you who made your family flag that kind of represent your values. Appreciate it. I was looking through here, and one of the things that stood out to me is how many people put on here God, Jesus, crosses, things like this. And what I love about this is how even you already feel a responsibility, as the Bible instructs us, to be God's ambassadors through your family, to bring the good news of Jesus to the world. And this is good news. And we ought to be able to raise and hold this banner, this flag high with confidence because we've been given authority by the one true King to share his good news. In fact, God is, as the verse says that we just read, making his appeal to all of humanity through us. We are God's plan for spreading the news of salvation. Me and you and kids and grandparents, we are God's plan for spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, sometimes we get all tangled up and we get nervous. I'm not sure I need to share that. I'm not sure it's the right time. I'm not sure I have a good enough relationship with that person. I'm not sure they want to hear what I have to say. I'm not sure that I can win an argument or a debate about God with that person. And so we shrink back. But I want you to think for a second what an appeal is. And hopefully this gives you some freedom to be able to talk more openly about Jesus and this good news. What is an appeal? If God is making his appeal through us, well, in our U.S. court systems, an appeal is an urgent request to reconsider. Whatever verdict was given, it's an urgent request to reconsider. Well, so that's all we're doing. If God is making his appeal through us, we're simply asking people to reconsider whatever verdict they've already made about God or Jesus Christ. So think about it. You go to share the good news of Jesus, and somebody says, "You don't have the right to ask me about my beliefs." Well, we say, you know, God sent me to ask you to reconsider that. Or they might just say, "It's silly to believe in God." Well, that may seem that way to you now, but God wants you to reconsider. Or I tried the church thing growing up, you know, it just really didn't work out for me, or I got hurt by a church, or whatever it is, we're there to say, God has sent me to ask you to reconsider. From there, we help them understand the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. You see, when someone responds or they come up, they decide for themselves about Jesus, their response or the result of God's appeal is not necessarily our responsibility. That's something that's between them and God. Our responsibility is to do the work of the ambassador and to share the good news, pleading with people to reconsider receiving God's grace through faith. So what is the appeal? Verse 20 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 said this, the appeal is be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Well, why do we have to be reconciled to God? Because we are not naturally in right relationship to God. Just like we said, we're not born into this as citizens of God's kingdom, but that's something that has to happen through faith. We also are not naturally in right relationship with God. And to be reconciled means to have a relationship restored, something broken to be made whole. And our relationship with God is broken by sin because we naturally choose our own way instead of God's way. It reminds me of the story of the traveling preacher who stands up in a rural church and he begins his sermon by saying, "All of us were born in sin." And an old cowboy stands up in the back, on the back row, and he says, "Well, that's where you're wrong, preacher. I was born in Texas." Sometimes we approach God that way, and I got to tell you, I'm a fifth-generation Texan, and only Texans know what generation they are in that state, but I'm a thousandth-generation sinner. And so are you, and so is everyone. None of us start in a right relationship with God. We all start in a broken relationship with God, and we need that to be restored. And don't miss the incredible news of grace here. As we are ambassadors, we're reminded of the gospel of Jesus Christ here, this incredible reality of God's grace that though we are born with sin and we owe God a great debt that we could never repay on our own, we are not the ones having to appeal to God for his mercy and forgiveness based on our merit or how good we are. That's just not, simply not the case. We're not the ones having to beg God for forgiveness. God is the one appealing to us to receive his mercy and forgiveness based on his grace. this is such good news that, yes, we are born with sin, but God has already done all that's necessary to make us right with him again. You see, if we were to make an appeal in court, it would have to be based on some sort of evidence or truth for the judge to say, yes, I'll take on that appeal. So what is God's appeal based on? And why should people like us pay attention? Verse 21 answers the question. Verse 21 gives the reason. To be reconciled to God is not based at all on what we can do for God. It's based only on what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. It says this in verse 21. He, meaning God, this is our memory verse for the week, by the way. So kids are going to recognize it. But he, being God, made the one, Jesus, who did not know sin. Meaning, Jesus was sinless. Never once did he have to apologize for messing up a relationship. Never once did he have to ask forgiveness from his friends for breaking their or hurting their feelings. Never once did Jesus have to be punished for sinning against his parents. I mean, what a life, right? But the Bible confirms over and over again that Jesus was sinless, and that's what makes him able to do what God does next. The one who did not know sin to be sin for us. That means that Jesus took on all of the punishment and weight of the sin of the entire world when he died on the cross. God made Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Some have called this the great exchange. Jesus took on the punishment for all sin when he died on the cross so that anyone who repents and believes in him would be given the very righteousness of God. That means God doesn't want us just to try to be better people. That's not what Christianity is about. He wants us to be made new. In fact, if you go back up a couple of verses in 2 Corinthians 5, you'll see that in verse 17 that anyone who is in Christ is therefore now a new creation. God wants us to be made new. That's the incredible offer of grace from God. Our forgiveness was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ on the cross and is now offered to you and to me for free. I love how Romans chapter 3 puts this, and this is where we'll end. In verse 22 through 24, it says, "The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." So there's no one who can say, "I've sinned too much." This is made available to all. And it says, because there is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I love the word justified. My Sunday school teacher growing up taught me what that meant with this little simple phrase, and it stuck with me all these years. I think it'll stick with you as well. Justified simply means just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. Because Jesus took on sin for us so that he can then in exchange, the great exchange, give us his righteousness. Now God always sees us as righteous when we believe. So it's not that I may, you know, live a life free of sin from this point forward, but it's that for eternity, God will look at me through the lens of what Jesus did on the cross, and he'll see me not just as a bad person made good, but he'll see me as if I'm a person who has never sinned. That's what it means when we receive salvation and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And this is good, good news. In fact, this news is too good not to share. But it's also too good not to believe. You've heard of things that are too good to believe, too good to be true. Man, this news is too good not to believe. So if you haven't made this eternally important decision to give your life to Jesus in faith, then I'd ask you simply, like an ambassador, to reconsider. This is the appeal. Would you reconsider a life of faith given to Jesus Christ because he gave his life for you? And then I would point you to just a couple of verses down in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, which say that now, today, is the day of salvation. So if you need to receive God's grace and forgiveness for salvation, today is the day. And so I'll just ask you, find me before you leave today. Maybe this is your first time at Mobberly. Maybe you've been at church for a long time and you say, hey, I've been hearing about this, but I've never made this a personal decision to put faith in Jesus Christ and to give him my life, to turn from my sin and to live for him and to receive all the benefits of being a citizen of God's kingdom and becoming an ambassador for God. Today is the day of salvation. I would love to help lead you through your next steps. And that's what my prayer is going to be for you today. For those who believe, to become ambassadors. For those who are still on the fence, that you would reconsider. That maybe today would be the day of salvation for you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation. Something we could never earn, you gave to us for free. You are so gracious. Thank you, God, for the chance to talk about Jesus this weekend with all these kids and families and church attenders, members. God, we are so grateful that we could be able to be here with you today and to hear your good news. May it sink deeply into our hearts and change everything about us, because you are that worth it. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.